Okay, we are picking up from the Gemara 12 lines from the top of Zion Amud Aleph. We were discussing, Rav Yehuda said that it was mutar to have birishon on Yontif. So this was a shayla, was, is it dafka because it was Yontif? That was the first man Amar says that no, it was Yehuda din Shabbos, and the fact that it happened to be, this maisa happened on Yontif, that's what the halacha, but he would say that it's mutar on Shabbos as well. However, we'll just go back from there. Rav Papa Mishmeida Rav Amar Biyom Tov Shar B'Shabbos Aser. No, there's a difference between Yontif and Shabbos, to which Rav Papi objects to Rav Papa. It's a bit confusing over here. Amalei Rav Papi or Rav Papa. Rav Papi says to Rav Papa, "My Daisech, what exactly is your reasoning to distinguish between Yontif and Shabbos? Mitoch Shehutro Chabur LaTzorech, Hutro Nami Shelo LaTzorech, because there's this concept called Mitoch. We should be a little bit familiar with this. This came up in the Gemara's in Beitza. So normally we know that the malachas of Yontif are exactly the same as the malachas on Shabbos as well. However, when it comes to the pasuk in Yontif, it says kol malacha lo yaseh behem ach asher ya'achel lechol nefesh hu levado ya'aseh lachem. So that means that only something which is mutter for the purposes of ochel nefesh is going to be mutter. So the Mishnah tells us that it's not just things that are like food, but not food itself, rather. Even things are shelo letzorech, are also things that are not even related directly. It was permitted to have a fire for food, so it's going to be permitted to use a fire for other purposes that are non-food related purposes, like heating up water, potentially, to wash yourself. That's the whole shaila about showering a yontif, which I'm going to get into a little bit. Amir Tashem also told us this important hagdara for mitoch. We're going to get into those two things in a moment. Let's just continue the Gemara first. So the Gemara says, so you're going to tell me that because there's a concept that in our case, it's going to be permitted because you can create a chabura in an animal because you could shecht an animal, and therefore clearly when you shecht something, it also creates a wound, right? The animal then dies, but it was bleeding. So the fact that you've created a wound on yontif through the tzorech achila of ochel nefesh, so too it should be mutter to create a wound for bia rishona. But that's the concept of mitoch, and that's why there would be a fundamental distinction between yontif and Shabbos. So says the Gemara. So according to you, you're going to tell me it's mutter to make this special type of incense at Yontif in order to give a good smell for perfume. Why? Because you could say the same svar, that you could say having a fire for food-related purposes is going to be mutter for cooking. So too, it's going to be mutter for this creating this nice incense, this good smell. L'chora, we know that the Mishnah Beitza tells us that it's usher to burn incense on Yontif. A puppy, though, is a little bit problematic, is Kasha, because at the end of the day, we know the Mishnah says beferish that there's a concept of mitoch. So he's asking a Kasha from one issue to the other, not necessarily on Rav Papa. But either way, the Gemara says Rav Papa responds to this question, Amalei alecha makra ach asher ye'achel l'chol nefesh, that it still has to be a davar ha-shaveh l'chol nefesh. To you, the pasuk says back, there has to be something which is common to all people, therefore it's going to be something which is common, is going to be mutter. Something which is not common necessarily, it's only for people who are mifunakim, something are especially spoiled and wealthy, meaning only for those certain segment of the population. In a chanami, the principle of mitoch does not apply to them. So the Gemara says, the Gemara questions this as well, Amar l'rvach amir l'rvashi el me'atan is demin l'tzvi b'yantiv. So if you find a nice rare animal on Yontif, you have a deer, a very good, you know, deer meat, very good. No one really gets to have his delicious deer meat. So how can I mean the asr of meshachti? You're going to tell me it's asr to shachta on Yontif, but it's not. So the Ravashi responds, I'm like, no, ana davar tzorech lechol nefesh kamina. I said something which specifically is needed by all people, even if it's not necessarily common to all people. There's a difference. Food is necessary to everybody. Yes, this is a higher level food. It happens to be that this particular food is more chashuv, but the category in which it's in is a basic human necessity, and therefore everybody would be entitled to be eating a tzvi because you're entitled to eat. And this is in the category of achila, as opposed to mugmer, the whole idea of burning incense, the whole concept of incense and perfumes and good smells is only something which is subject to for people who have a lot of money, and therefore, if you have a lot of money, it's shayach too. If you don't, then it's going to be us. It's going to be not, you can't buy it. So therefore, that's not considered shavet l'chol nefesh. But we see a very important principle of mitoch, which is, it's very interesting because the Gemara never tells us exactly. Remember, Sachs came to visit as an yeshiva for the year. He came to speak about this topic because it's not really clear exactly. They're showing him a different explanations. How do we learn out the principle of mitoch? It's such a fundamental principle, and we apply this halacha, yet we don't necessarily know, even bichlal, where the drasha comes from. It's not so clear. The Gemara Beitza, the Gemara here doesn't say where the drasha exactly is coming from, but this is something which is undisputed. Beis Hillel holds to the concept of mitoch, but Shammai doesn't, but we pass on to Beis Hillel. So we hold to the concept of mitoch. Just a few applications of mitoch that are a very important halacha. Maisa, is the first is Tosfos point out that there has to be a little bit of a tzorech. There has to be some tzorech of yontiv, a little bit. It can't be that it's totally not necessary at all. And Tosfos gives an example, it'd be usher, like, say, to carry rocks around if you don't need them whatsoever. That would be clearly something which is not okay. However, Tosfos does quote, let's say, tzorech mitzvah, like bringing a katan for the mulo and a sefer Torah to read it. Those are definitely going to be mutter. And hanasa yom, if you're using it for the purpose of the day, that's going to be mutter. So, there is a discussion, let's say in the Achronim, about shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So, obviously, to carry a shofar, to blow it for a man, that's going to be mutter. But we know that a woman, it's a mitzvah to say she's man grama, so it's a nice thing if she can hear the shofar, but it's not so pashut that you'd be allowed to, even in a place without an Erev. If you have an Erev anyway, that even on Shabbos, you're allowed to carry. We're talking about where there's no Erev. Really, a lot, so that's another principle of mitoch, that just like you could carry the ochel nefesh, so too you can carry, even if you don't have an Erev, because that's the principle of mitoch. But according to Tosfos' principle, you need some tzorech, so there's a dion in that chronim. If there is no Erev there, am I allowed to carry a shofar to blow for a woman? Because maybe she's b'chal nachayev, it's a nice idea, but maybe that nice idea is not considered at least a tzorech within the day of Tosfos. So I think that a lot of the achronim are mekel, there's definitely what to be mekel on for that shaila, but it's important to note that there has to be some sort of usage for, again, we're talking about we're carrying without an Erev. So let's say the person doesn't necessarily hold that it's mutter to carry in Manhattan, let's say. There's no Erev, you're not allowed to make an Erev like Ramosha. So there, that shaila would be existent. That if to go blow shofar for a woman in Manhattan where you don't hold of the Erev, so then, would you be allowed to do that on Yantiv? Because maybe that's not considered a Tzorech of Yantiv enough to say that you're going to be allowed to carry it. So that was, Tosfos very important over here, the Dibur Maschil Mitoch. And another very important point is, with regards to like showering, that's where it comes up, is that Lechora, that's where the Gemara and Beitza implies that washing your whole body is something which is not necessarily Shavel Chol Nefesh. The Shaila is, can that be something that is changed? Bizman Hazeh, that's part of the Dion of showering and extra hot water, etc. So some say you should only use lukewarm water, not necessarily shower your whole body, to a different point of view, not necessarily part of your whole body. If I remember correctly, Remtzel Shlita is Mekel to again, there's different other halachas about washing yourself if the soap is not the liquidy enough, that's an issue of Mimareach, a different Shaila. I'm talking about just the concept of heating up the water in order that you should shower, that's the principle of Mitoch. Heating up the water on Shabbos is potentially Nisr Dereisa to take a shower on Shabbos. So on Yantiv, it's going to be Mutter. It's also important to know on Yantiv as well, because some of the, it depends how the boilers are. You have to find out the Matias of your boiler, because some of them apparently don't actually ignite a current fire, but actually light a new one, which is going to be Mamash Hasser, even on Yantiv. So a person has to figure that out as well, that Matias. But that would be potentially part of the reason that there's a Dion in this, because the Gemara says that it's really not for L'shav and L'chon. Nefesh HaShayla is that can be something subject to change. If everybody is showering now, Bizman is that, can that be something which is now Shav L'chon Nefesh? If I remember correctly, that would be the Dion over here. And Rav Nevinsel is Mekel on that Shaila. There are a lot of poskim who are Machmir, but that would be important. Halacha Glamaisa Nafkamina comes out from our Gemara over here. So it says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yaakov Ridi. So how do we paskin? The Halacha Bi Rishona. We just had a few dapim about this. So it says the Gemara now, Hora Rabbi Yochanan Bitzadayan Rabbi Yochanan ruled in Sidon. Asr Level B'tchum HaShavah. Said it's Asr. So now the Gemara asks, though, just a technical bothered by a certain phrase that we used over here, the lashon that it's hora, that with the lashon over here that we're hora, they are paskening to be machmir. So says the Gemara, mi ika hora le'itzer, that as Rashi points out, when it comes to lashon of hora, it's like it's a ruling, halachic ruling. Now a ruling, as Rashi points out, is that when it comes to finding a kula, that's a lot bigger chiddush. A person has to really know this sugya, be confident in the way he's learning, to be able to medav milsa come out with a kula. I'm not going to be machmir. I don't have to learn any halacha. I can just tell you, it's asr, it's asr, it's asr, it's asr. I don't know anything about Hilchos Shabbos, let's say, and I tell you everything is asr. That's nishkan chiddush. Why is that hora? To come out with kulas, that was the godless of Rav Moshe, is that he was able, that's the way he learned the sugya, not just he was Stamazoy Mekel, but the way he was able to learn the sugya and be compared, Rav Shachar always points this out, that he was able to compare gemaras that never in a million years, Rav Shachar, when he was studying for smicha, he would test himself by learning the Igros Moshe, like, yeah, that's a common thing that we should be doing. Learning Smicha is, I'm joking, that's obviously, he would look at the Shaila, and he would write his own tshuva. So he would quote the Gemaras, and he would quote the basic Gemaras, he would quote the Rishonim, and he would quote up to Lachamai, so Shulchan Aruch. So he said that, you know, many times you'd get the first three, four Rishonim and Mar Makomos and the Gemaras that Rav Moshe was using, and all of a sudden Rav Moshe would pull out these Gemaras never in a million years, and he would compare a case of Ordozar to Halachas of getting a Bris Milan Shabbos. like things that never in a million years he would have thought to compare. Moshe was able to compare. That's his godless. That shows that's what Hora is. That he was able to come out with those comparisons and then come out Alach HaMaisa with a Kula. That is a big Chiddush. So that's the Lashon of Hora, says the Gemara. Can we say the Lashon of Hora with regards to a stringent decision? So says the Gemara, no, we do though see this term sometimes used, not often, but we will use it sometimes in the Lacha of being Machmir, as the Mishnah says, Vatznan, as we learn in the Mishnah, this is sometimes Vatznan is a Kashir, is a Vatznan of a Haretzan, and we learn, behold, we learn in the Mishnah, Horu Beisela Shte Nezira Od Sheva Shani Machir, so the case of Hol Ne'amalka. So her son went off to war, and she said, if my son comes back safely, I'm going to be a Nezira for 7 years. So her son returned for the war, and she undertook the Nezira for 7 years, and she lived outside of Chutzlarts at that time, and then she came right to Israel. Beisela ruled that she has to have another 7 years of Nezira. The reason is because there's a concept of Tumas Eretz Ami Midir and Banan, that there is, that's the whole Shaila, why are Kohanim allowed to live in Chutzlarts, not Pashut. But either way, we'll get to actually Chaim Kohen later, in the end of the Masechta. But there is a halacha of Tumas Eretz Amim. So therefore, Beisela says that there's a Din Darabanan, which tell you that the Naziris that she did outside of Chutzlarts does not count, and she must repeat the entire Naziris only in Eretz Israel. So, V'inami or Kidasani, we learn in a Braisa, Chuta Shidrish Nisak Berubo. When it comes to an animal that has a spinal cord is split, so if it's a greater part, it's going to be a trefa for every Rebbe, that's the words of Rebbe. Rabbi Yaakov, Rafilo Nikev, even if it's not in a split, but it's simply pierced, the animal is still going to be, the cord is just pierced, even much less than Rebbe, that's going to be a treifa. So says the Gemara, Hora Rebbe, Rabbi Yaakov, then Rebbe, then himself ruled lechumra in accordance with Rabbi Yaakov with lashon of Hora that he paskin like Rabbi Yaakov lechumra. So that's where we see the lashon of Hora could be used in the context of being machmir. So says the Gemara, Vayter Amar Rav Huna in lach Rabbi Yaakov, the does not follow Rabbi Yaakov, rather the animal is not a treifa unless it's actually split like the original pasak of Rebbe. Now the Gemara continues, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Masnei Hachi Amar Rabbi Abahu. Shaal Rabbi Shmuel ben Yaakov de Minsur as Rabbi Yechonim et Zaydan in Essen Sidon. Ba'ana Shamati, Ma'al Livel Batchil B'Shabbos, Amal Lev Asr, says it's Asr. Ba'alchasa, Mutter Livel Batchil B'Shabbos, Shabbos, Paskin, Be'er Shona is going to be Mutter. Sometimes it could happen, whatever, something happened on the Gemara on Thursday night, and they weren't able to consummate the marriage. So then Be'er Shona would be Mutter on Shabbos. This is going to be the Allah Chalamaisa, how he finally come out after the lengthy Sugya. So now we are going to be discussing the brachas of Kiddushin and Nisun. As I pointed out, Kiddushin and Nisun are two different stages of the person getting married, right? Kiddushin is the first stage, which is the halacha engagement midaraisa, though, not like we do. Our engagements with Banas, that mean nothing. The way that they used to do the engagements is that the halacha engagement is that you give her the woman away, and then you're married on the level of daraisa fully. She's an HSH, she's a mezana, she's chayv misa. So she's fully married to you, but there are certain things that only kick in once you get like supporting her and things like that only will kick in from the time of Nisuin. It's a further completion of the marriage, but you're fully married on the level of the Raisa by the Kiddushin stages, and you make a bracha, because the Kiddushin is that's a Shaila. Is it a mitzah? Is it an Akshar mitzah? We're going to get to that based on the Nusach on Amun Beis of today's daf. So now the Gemara is talking about what we call the Sheva brachos, that we know that there are six brachos that we're going to be quoted at tomorrow's daf and daf ches. We're going to get to those six brachos. And then in addition to those brachos, we have the concept of Borei Paragafen, some actually into the words of Borei Paragafen mamish into our Gemara as well. And then we would have mamish Sheva brachos, what we call the term Sheva brachos. The Gemara calls them Birchas Chasanim. So says the Gemara now, Amar Rabbi Chaba, Amar Ravuna, Amar Rabbi Avah, Amar Zvid, Amar Rav, Achas Besulav, Achas Almana, Teuna Bracha, that both somebody who is a virgin and a widow would both require the Sheva Brachos to be said when they get married. So that's clearly what they're talking about, the chuppah, actually when they're getting married, and we're going to see what exactly, how far they go in the Hemshech. Did Rav Huna say this? Didn't Rav Huna say elsewhere, Almana Eino Tuna Bracha, a woman who's a widow does not require Sheva Brachos? So the Gemara says, Lo Kasha, Kan Vachar Shanas Almana, Kan Alman Shanas Almana. It depends. In the case Rav Huna saying that you would require brachos or sheva brachos is where we're talking about the guy has been unmarried. He's not been married before. So he hasn't been married before, so it's a simcha for him, so you should say the sheva brachos. However, if you have a widow marrying a widower, so then you would not make a sheva brachos. It says the Gemara, I don't like that answer. Alman, shenasa, almana, lo, is it really true that a widower who marries a widow would not say sheva brachos? V'yomar Rav Nachman, so Amar Menachman, Amarli Huda Barnasan, Tana, we learn in Abraisa, Menai Lebrichas Chasan and Basara. Where do we know the sheva brachos are only said when 10 men are there? Shenemar Vayikach Asara Nashim Izignair Vayomar Shivupu Vayeshivu. That the Pasuk is talking about Boaz. Boaz is marrying Rus, so he took 10 men, and the Pasuk is going to say that because he took the 10 men to acquire the property of Rus, and also the right to marry her, that was mutter from to marry her. So now he had 10 men for this purpose, lechora 2 enough. So there must be that they were taking 10 to have to have shever brachos. So Boaz, what do we see from Boaz though? Alman shenas amanav. Boaz was a widower who married a widow. We know that based on the Gemara in Bava Basra that Boaz is actually identified as this as Itzvan, who had 30 sons and 30 daughters. The Gemara over there says, and Boaz's wife had died the day Ruth arrived in Eretz Yisrael. So Ruth also we know is married to Machlon. Ruth herself was not really a widow technically, as Tosfos points out, because that she was married as a non-Jew, but it really just means anyone who's a ba'ula, anyone who is not necessarily a basula is not going to be in this category. So the Gemara points out, Boaz almon shenasa almanahav, and Boaz is a widower who married a widow. So therefore, how could we assume that you say shever brachos? Clearly, an almon shenasa almanah also requires shever brachos. So what does the Gemara now mean? So now the Gemara clarifies what we meant by das Rav Huna. My ina tuna bracha da amar Rav Huna, ina tuna bracha kol shiva av yom echad tuna bracha. What did Rav Huna meant? What mean when he said it doesn't require shever brachos? It doesn't require shever brachos for all 7 days after the wedding. However, she does require the bracha for at least 1 day. So therefore, in addition to requiring the shever brachos at the wedding, there's a further obligation to recite these brachos after the meal. And therefore, Rav Huna is telling us the shever brachos of what a widower only recited during the first day and not any further. There's a subject to debate. What does that mean, Yom Echad? Is it literally just the wedding and nothing else? What if they have another meal that same day? Let's say they get married at nighttime, so they have a meal the next morning, the next day. Can you make a shever brachos that day? That's a shaila, halacha lemaisa, in the Achronim. So the Gemara says, the Brisa says that, wait a second, though, going back to what we saw earlier, that a person is supposed to be happy with the rejoicing of his wife for 3 days. So that was so we said over there 3 days. But my, which case are we doing? If someone who's not been married before, we just said before how much shiva that it would be shever brachos, and it should be 7 days that he has to be sameach with her. So clearly, he can't be talking about a bachar. And even I'm talking about someone who's been a widowed. So you have not said that there's only 1 day of shever brachos. It's in that case, we only said 1 day of shever brachos there. So which is it? So says the Gemara, ibayis ima ba'almon yomecha lebracha. So that there's a difference. There's 1 day for brachos, ushlosha lesimcha, but there's 3 days for rejoicing. So meaning the Brisa and Rav Huna are saying that we have two concepts. You have the concept of the shever brachos and the concept of simcha that aren't necessarily going to be the same. That when it comes to the fact that he should be sameach with her, so that is going to be for 3 days. He should be happy with her. However, the actual shever brachos might only be for one. So that we see over here that they're going to be different in length. So if you're going to be 1 day of Sheva Brachos, we're going to have 3 days that you should be with her, b'simcha, not necessarily having Sheva Brachos. V'ibayis ima. So we have another, v'ibayis ima, we could say another answer. B'bachar shiva l'bracha u'shlosh l'simcha. When it comes to, if you're going to say that you have somebody who has never been married before, you're going to have a case of Sheva Brachos. However, 3 days of simcha. So even though the Sheva Brachos are going to be said for all 7 days, there's no requirement for Simcha after 3 days. So basically what comes out of here is that when it comes to the Sheva Brachos, if either one of the people have never been married before, either the man or the female Salcha L'maisa, it's important to know this, because you have sometimes somebody who the person dies or they get divorced and then they marry somebody who has never been married before. So the halacha over there would be that there would be, if she never married before, then the halacha or he or she never married before, that you say Sheva Brachos for all 7 days. If they both were previously married, the shever brachos only be 1 day. In terms of the simcha, if the bride is a basula, then you have simcha for 7 days as well. Doesn't matter if the bachar is an almon or not. There'd be 7 days of simcha and 7 days of. It's important to note there's halachas for, let's say, not working. You shouldn't work the whole week. And similarly, if the kala was previously married, it's going to be only 3 days. So the simcha chas and kala is depending on the kala. So no matter what the status of the chasen is. So lechora, the idea of simcha is for the benefit of the kala, and therefore the chachamim recognize that he wants to be with her. So therefore, it's going to be up to of the bride simcha. The bride who has never been married before requires a full 7 days of simcha, whereas a previously married one will require 3. And that's where the idea of simcha comes from. The shavu brachos are different in it's the idea that you say these brachos when somebody had not been previously married. Now, if the simcha is for the wife's benefit, so then she may be able to waive it. That's the shaila. In some Rishonim, they should be able to waive it if the simcha is only for her, and therefore it would be mutter for him to say go to work or something like that if she so chooses. That's the shaila. Okay, so that's what comes out. Shloshlo simcha, very important in him with regards to the shava brachos over here. But also, what's important to know is that we saw Tosfos clearly say like this that if someone has a ba'ula, then you don't necessarily have the shava brachos for all 7 days. So that is a shayla, unfortunately, halacha l'maisa for someone who's a bal tshuva or somebody just simply, they're not that frum, but they're like, they want to have shever brachos. So if that's not so pashut, that they should be having shever brachos for them, full 7 days, that is a big shayla. That's a big shayla, and, I don't know, the post could just discuss that a little bit, but it's not, it's an unfortunate shayla, but we could come up, halacha l'maisa. So it says in Gemara Vayta, Mesi beva kasha from the braisa, mevarcha lebasula shiva, that we say a bracha for behalf of a virgin, for 7 days, elman al yom echad. So my love, afilu almana shanas as a bachar, in the case we have a widow for 1 day, isn't that even if a bachar marries him? So the Gemara says, lo, le alma, talk about if he marries a widow, that's only 1 day. But if it's a bachar, then you'd have seven brachos. The Gemara says, of a bachar, my, shiva, according to you, you're going to have a full 7 brachos. If that's the case, the Brisha should have taught us that mevarcha lebasula shiva, we say a bracha for behalf of a virgin for 7 days, ule almana shanas as a bachar shiva, and with regards to a widow who weds and never marry men for 7 days as well. But on behalf of a widow who is marrying a widower, we say only for 1 day. So the Gemara points out, no, milsab sika ktani, that the Brisa is specifically talking about something which is going to be clear, straight. What is that? The lake of Basula, the Batsam of Shiva, that there's never going to be a virgin who has less than 7 days of Shavu Brachos, the lake Almana, the Batsam of Yachad. And there's never a widow who has less than 1 day. So therefore, the Brisa means to say that we do say the Brachos on behalf of a Basula for at least 7 days, and a widow less 1 day. The Brisa agrees that where there is a widow who marries a Bachar, you would still also require Shavu Brachos. So that what comes out over here is that if a widow marries a widower, so Shavu Brachos is only the first day, and that would be the halacha there, and 7 days for the Basula. Says the Gemara Vayter now, Gufa, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Li, Huna Bar Nasan, Tana Menayin, the Brachos, Chonim Basar. How do we know that you have Shavu Brachos recited when you specifically have 10 men? That's the whole Shaila. What if you can't get 10 men? So that's the Shaila. Basically, it goes to Rashba, who says that you shouldn't get married in that case. However, many of the Chumash Adeshin, they disagree. Obviously, you should get married. It's just that we're telling you that you should, like Chachilah, your best, try to have 10 men there so you can say Shavu Brachos. Not ma'akiv, you're getting married. So that's the Shiloh. The Rashba holds not the way that they are ma'akiv, you're getting married. The Pasuk says that you took 10 men, said sit over here, and they said the Bracha of Brachos Chosan. Rabbi Omar Mahacha, the Makilos Brachu Lokim Hashem Kor Yisrael. And literally, when you have Makilos, when you have an assembly, we know a Kahal, right? That's called the Eda, and they're called a Kahal, that's 10. So we say a bracha, it's similar to the Davar Shabbat, it requires 10 people, a Kahal, and that is going to be of 10 people. That's what we know. V'hakel is a Eda, and over there is also specifically 10, therefore you must have 10 people. So the Gemara says, Renachon Bahaikram and Rabbi Amar Space. Now the Gemara is asking, why did each Amora derive it differently than the other one? So the Gemara says, because why does Renachon, he needs the Pasuk Rabbi for something else? Where do we know that even a fetus in their mother's womb, Amr Shir Aliyam, that they also are praising Gosh Baruch Hu in the Az Yashir? That in the Makilos, we're blessing Hashem, we're giving bracha to Hashem, so from the womb of Yisrael. It's teaching us that even from the womb, they're giving brachas to Hashem, and that refers to the Shira. So Zegmar V'idach, what is Rabbi Abahu? He rejects this explanation, Inkein Limakram Mibetin. The Pasuk should have said, his stomach is more standard for this part of the body, which his baby is carried. Makor simply sounds like a source, not necessarily for the actual fetus itself. So my Makor, Al Iskin Makor, is because it refers to the manners of the womb, and the manners of the womb is the bracha of the Nisuin. The Nisuin, the whole pachas of getting married, is to do procreation, peruvu. That's actually going to see that maybe the whole mitzvah, the whole idea of getting married might only be a hechsher mitzvah for the point of doing peruvu. That's the shita of the Rush. Seemingly, some understand the Rush a little bit differently, but that's lechora. How we explain the concept of marriage? So Gemara says, Rabbi Abahu be'aykra Rav Nachman derish. But now going back to the other side, what does Rabbi Abahu do with Rav Nachman's pasuk? How does he learn from the pasuk Boaz took 10 people? Habayla lemidrash that specifically was to say the halacha amoni v'lo amonis. That wasn't a clear halacha at the time. We see that David HaMelech was doeg. Doeg was trying to argue with David HaMelech that he wasn't kosher to be lekal b'chlal. Who says it says lo yavo ger amoni umavi v'kal Hashem? Now who says that all of a sudden that it's mutter for a woman? So that's the whole Joshua, the Alik Lokim Rechem Alechem, it's not the derech of woman to go in, and therefore women are mutter, but that wasn't a Pasha Joshua, not everybody agreed to that. So he had to explain in front of the Zakenim, look, I'm getting married, and it's mutter for me to get married to this Rus HaMoaviyah, to marry this Moaviyah. Amoni v'lamonis, Moavi l'mavis, so this halacha was said specifically in front of the presence of others to uphold this halacha. Because if it literally was just Shavu Brachos as you want a Taina or Rav Nachman, so now I'll answer Lo Sagad Lo Zakenim. So why do you specifically need the Zakenim? The Pasuk went out of its way to tell us that Boaz took Asar Zakenim. You just have any 10 standard Joe Schmo on the street. Why do I need specifically Zakenim, because they were selling to teach them this halacha in front of these Zakenim specifically, that this should be the halacha. V'ida chaner of Nachman, he can say, Yisakadaitach lemidrash lo sagad alav asara, but if he just wanted to say this halacha, why do you need 10 people? Meaning that just say in front of 3 or 4 or 5 or 6, 7, why dafka was it the 10? So specifically it was 10, must be that he was saying the bracha of Sheva bracha. So Gemara says, no, the Gemara is defending Rabbi Abahu and saying that you specifically need 10 because the person who in order to publicize it. From the city of Baghdad, that's a shiloh, whether it means modern day Baghdad. Rashi says there was a city in Babel named Baghdad. It's very interesting. I wonder if that's modern day Baghdad. Puk Vaisali Ba Sara, go out and say 10 people of Amalek and Payan, say in front of them, Amazakir Luba Kada, that specifically he was going, go tell 10 people that they should order to publicize this shita that I hold, that someone who is doing a zakhin, the concept of zakhin shalom, I can acquire a present. Reuben gives me a present on behalf of Shimon, so I acquire for Shimon. It's Mame Shimon, so if I take it, I'm stealing. It's Mame Shimon's at that point. So the halach of zakhin, does it work also for just a fetus? And Yana Dioma is how strong is a fetus? Is a fetus mamash a person or not? Right? In American society, they're discussing that a lot. So that is the shaila over here. With regards to a fetus, over here, the halacha is that it would be konen. It could also be that it might get into the concept of also that you can be makta davar shel ba'ola. That's also another point, and wouldn't necessarily be on that point. But either way, we're referring to over here that publicizing this ruling, you require 10 people. So, not required, it was helpful to have 10 people. And the Gemara just points out parenthetically, we don't pass in that it's konen. We pass in like Rabbi Yochanan bava basra that a fetus is ineffective. So says the Gemara, we learn in a braisa. We say the Sheva Brachos in the house of the Chasanim. The Sheva Brachos are going to be said when they're present. So many Rishonim point out the Ritva and others that it doesn't mean literally has to be in his house. Rather, it means wherever the chuppah happens to be. And according to Rashi, it's just telling us that when we say the Sheva Brachos, that week, but not necessarily where. However, other Rishonim learn, no, Tosfos seem to understand that it has to be specifically where the chuppah is in the, or the house of the actual Chasanim. I think Sfardim are makbid for this. That's what I heard. Or that they should be makbid for this. I don't know exactly what they do because I've seen Sfardim Sheva Brachos, but I think Sfardim are makbid of the Shita Tosfos. That we really should only be saying Sheva Brachos in the house of the Chasanim. I don't know what they do. I don't know that I heard. I don't know exactly, but there is a machlokas Rishonim about it. I think Ashkenazim for sure go like the Rishonim and say that it just means when. It doesn't say go in a restaurant, whatever it is, but that just means when it is. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, you should say the Sheva Brachos even in it. When Erisin takes place, they all say Sheva Brachos. And the Gemara explains because Amar Abaye over Yehuda Shanim that specifically this was said in Yehuda because in Yehuda the groom would have yichud after Erisin. In Yehuda they would go together in seclusion in order that they shouldn't become distant in the wedding night and to be embarrassed to not have relations. We want them to be comfortable with each other. And Yerushalmi has a whole different origin to this, that when Yaakov's sons came to Maaseh Machpelah, that Esav was right contesting it. So the Yerushalmi quotes over there that Yehuda was the one to kill Esav. That's why Esav's head is buried in Maaseh Machpelah. So ever since then, the Bnei Esav had a Masorah. They knew about this. So when Yehuda, whenever the Bnei Esav, the Romans, whoever were taking over for Klal Yisrael, and they were ruling over the Yidden, so they would force any Jewish person who's getting married to have relations to avenge the death of Esav, to have relations with anybody who is going to the local Roman officer. So there, in order that the husband will be close with the wife and she shouldn't be having Boel Beratzon with this man, so they had Yichur there, that the first Bia should at least be with the husband, and then afterwards, if they forcibly rape or whatever, that would be at least that they should be married. So the Gemara now points out, Tani Yidach, we're another different price, Mavarchan Birchas Chanu Beis Chasanim, Verchas Erisin Beis Erisin, we say the Brachas of Erisin in the Erisin. Birchas Erisin, what is the Nisach HaBracha that you say by regards to Birchas Erisin? So says the Gemara, Ravin Baravada, Rabbi Barad, Tavaya Bishmei, the Rav Yehuda Amrei, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam. Listen to this fasting bracha. What have I said? I would have just said, Asher Kitzvah Mitzvah Mitzvano, Lekadish is a Isha. Like a regular bracha mitzvah. Listen to this bracha over here. What are the bracha? Vetzivanu al arayos. Hakadosh Baruch Hu told us that there are arayos that are asr. It's asr to marry your sister, asr to marry your aunt, different things that are asr to marry. Vasr lanu es arusos. And midarabana, and they asr even in arusa, that's a kalab bracha asr kabal of kinida, that the arusa aros to marrying his own, to have via with his own arusa, midarabana is totally asr. So, that's why we say the lachas of the Rabbanan, Rashi points out, and I, Vitzivanu, going on mitzvahs of the Rabbanan also, that's the famous thing about Ner Chanukah. The Gemara already asks that. The Rabbanan told us this is asr. Arusas, vehita ladus and nesuas, ayadei chuppah v'kiddushin. How is it permitted for women who are nesuas through chuppah and kiddushin? Ayadei chuppah v'kiddushin. And then Rav Acha, Breder of Yon Masayim, v'bashmeid, Rav Yehuda, Baruchat Hashem, v'kaddish Yisrael, ayadei chuppah v'kiddushin, v'kosh baruchu, who miskaddish Yisrael through chuppah v'kiddushin. So we see over here, This would be added to the text of the bracha. So the Gemara points out, mandel ochasim, if you just have a bracha, then you'd meet it down with berachas aferes or berachas amitzah. So that's similar to a bracha without a bracha, arucha, bracha k'tara. Bracha k'tara is always, you just say, asher k'tara, tzvon al-niach tzvon, right? That's a bracha k'tara. And what's a bracha arucha? We say, al-micha. It's a bracha tzvon al-micha, al-kakava tzvon, and you know, bracha tzvon al-micha. You say a barach both at the beginning and both at the end. So if you say without the bracha chasima, then it's going to be like a bracha k'tara. And if it's not, uman dechosim mididavi akidusha, that it's going to simply a kiddush on Leil Shabbos that you say, which says a bracha before and a bracha after. Now, what's the difference? So the Rishonim point out that where there are a few different subjects, not only the amount of words that you're saying, you can have a very long bracha ketara, but the reason that you don't end off with a bracha is because if it's only one topic that's being discussed, if there's multiple topics being discussed, even if it's short words, short nizot, you'll end off with a bracha as well. So that's the shaila over here. Is this really two different concepts of the Torah? It sounds like all about marriage. So that's the first man d'amar that says you shouldn't end off with the bracha. However, the ones that say you do end off, the fact you're saying asher kiddushanu and it mentions our kedusha and kedushas kol Yisrael, that's different than the actual wedding itself, the actual marriage. And therefore, it is two subjects, and you would end off with a different bracha as well. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we'll pick up with Tanur Rabbanan. I do want to mention the Rush's famous shita on Asher Kizam Tzadu Anal Arayos, important Rush, Baruch Hashem, in tomorrow's daf.